Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast where nothing is exceptional, but everything is better than boring. With me, Robin, today, Alex.
Hi, Robin. How's it going? Well, I like the intro. Right, I liked it.
Thank you.
It's very good. Very good.
Well, what could I do that's better than Magnolia paint drying? And the answer is nothing. So I just said boring because Martin's similes are the best. How are you doing, Martin?
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, I'm glad it was different this week. Last week, Alex plagiarized me.
Again, what? I couldn't improve it, Martin. I couldn't improve it. As Robin said, your similes are the best.
That's incredibly kind.
Is that a compliment you've ever received before?
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's an odd one. But I'm doing well.
Good. I hope we're all surviving this horrible sweaty heat.
I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to bring it up because it's every week it's the just... weather.
For anyone watching this on YouTube, it's going to be quite an interesting podcast because you're going to watch the slow transformation of all three of us with the windows closed and no fans on just slowly turn into a puddle of water, puddle of sweat on the
Actually,
floor.
Robin, you wouldn't turn into a puddle of water, would you? You just... I guess what happens is your wires would kind of melt and you'd sparking.
The plastic coating would melt and an electrical fire would start. That's exactly what's going to happen. You'll see flames emerge from my back.
That's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah. But what you're really waiting for, of course, is the main topic that we'll be discussing this week, which is new sightings of the Loch Ness Monster.
What?
Question mark, is Nessie real? So that's what we'll be discussing this week. Before that, though, we'll be looking at our favorite comments from you, our lovely listeners and viewers from the past week. And before that, we'll be discussing things that we learned. And of course, at the end of this, we'll be finishing it all off with a quiz that I have prepared because it's time for Martin and Alex to face off.
Yeah, again. Martin's in the lead and the pressure's on. I can't let him get away.
No. You gotta bring him down, Alex.
Who wins at the end of face off? I can't remember. Is it Nicolas Cage? Does anyone win?
I mean, that's the beauty of it. Technically, they both win because whoever wins the actual fight is the actor whose character loses, right?
Yeah.
Because they swap faces.
That's a good point. I'm just, it's too confusing and too long since I've seen it.
So which one's us in this rivalry? I'm guessing that's what you were going for, Martin.
That's what I was trying to go for, but then the faces swap, so saying I'm Nicolas Cage wouldn't really help, would it?
Who's Nicolas Cage and who's... Is it John Travolta?
It is.
John Travolta, yeah.
Which one of us is Nicolas Cage and which one's John Travolta? Let us know in the comments below.
Well, without further ado, what have you learned this week, Martin?
What have I learned? Well, yeah. I've learned a very, very interesting story. Have you guys heard of This Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, the book then turned into a film?
The film, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a concentration camp Holocaust
Thing,
right?
Yeah, it's a Holocaust thing about a boy who, I can't remember the exact specifics, but he ends up in a concentration camp and becomes friends with the son of a Nazi general. Well, the person who wrote that book has recently released another book. So that book was critically acclaimed. It was a New York Times bestseller and sold millions and millions of copies. So he's a very, very credible and popular author. A guy by the name, a guy who goes by the name, because it is his name, of John Boyne, an Irish author. So he's released this latest book, and it's called A Traveller at the Gates of Wisdom. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Sounds interesting.
That's like a typical title of a Man Booker Prize winning book. You know.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I have no idea what this book's about. I'm not really interested in the book. But what I am interested in, is the error he made when, in a portion of the book, he was describing in detail how to dye clothes red. Okay? So he's talking, for whatever reason. I don't give a shit about this book. But I'm not going to read it. But he's talking about dyeing clothes red. And so what happens when you're trying to write a book and you're trying to find out information about how to dye clothes red? What do you do?
You do research.
You do in-depth research, don't you?
You do.
What you don't do is go on Google and click on the first article you come across and just copy and paste what you find on there.
No.
Because what he did is he obviously Googled how to dye clothes red, and came across Polygon's website, the gaming site Polygon, and copied the description of how to dye clothes red in the game Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh no!
Oh my no!
Okay, this book's been published. Okay, it's out there. There's no taking this back. So he's used Octorok Eyeball, the Tale of Red Lizophos, and four Hylian Shrooms to dye his clothes red in the real world in this book.
No. But there are like book editors and stuff who read through, that's their job,
read through
it?
Manuscripts.
Did they just assume that, this was the author who wrote Boy in the Striped Pyjamas? We don't need to check this.
He knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's doing.
But isn't that amazing? Like, what the hell was he thinking? Octorok Eyeball. Like, what did he think that was? Surely be like, what's an Octorok? Probably should have a look at that.
I mean, that's just astonishing on every level. Because first, it's just blatant plagiarism.
Yes.
And you'd think he would try at least to disguise that. Yeah. Secondly, it's really lazy research. And again, I can forgive that. Like, first draft, you're just like, okay, I'm going to copy and paste this, and then I'll come back and fix it later. But then, like, first draft. You're supposed to do more than one draft. You're supposed to read your book multiple times. And then, like you say, you submit it to the book editors. There's so many stages before this thing goes to print.
No one there has played a Zelda game. Because Hylian, that's like the race of the people, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought this was amazing.
I can't believe that.
And do you want to know the ultimate irony about this story?
Oh, yeah.
Is that I completely plagiarized this from the Super Show podcast. They mentioned it this week, and I thought it was too good to miss. So I will give them a shout out for bringing this.
It did feel like it was sponsored by Panera Bread, to be honest. Yeah,
a little bit. So it was too good. So shout out to those guys for bringing it to my attention. It's just amazing. I think it's incredible. Copying it from
check
a
it out. We'll put a link to their podcast in the video on YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah. So thanks,
Super Show podcast. What did you learn this week, Alex?
Nice. Well, I learned a word this week. An interesting word. My word of the week. And that word is necrocracy.
Necrocracy.
Have you heard this before?
No, but it sounds like being ruled by dead people.
You've nailed it, Robin. Yeah, it's a governmental system where the dead rule the living.
How, Alex?
Which is mad, isn't it? Well, there is one country in existence today that is a necrocracy.
Well, can we guess?
Can you tell me which one it is?
Could it? Where would
North
it be?
North Korea.
I mean, Robin, yeah, you've nailed it again. It's North Korea, yeah, because technically, Kim Il-sung,
yes,
the grandfather of Kim Jong-un, is still the president of North Korea because he's technically, when they die, their rules that he implemented are still being, still being implemented, and he is seen as like an eternal ruler, isn't he?
Yes.
He is technically the eternal president of the republic, and that makes North Korea the only necrocracy in the world.
Does
that's incredible.
Yeah, so Kim Jong-il and then Kim Jong-un don't really matter in kind of relation to Sun, just because he's the supreme, the OG, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works because, yeah, they're also the supreme leaders.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so are the titles slightly different? Because they have supreme leader. Is Kim Il-sung like ultimate supreme leader or something? Is
that
like
maybe they've got multiple eternal. Maybe they've got multiple eternal presidents of the republic.
Maybe.
Now they've got who is the guy in between Kim Jong Un, Kim Jong Il, Kim Jong Un's dad. Yeah, yes. He's who also passed away. So maybe he's also eternal president. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. Just
that's
word alone.
Really interesting.
What a weird system of government. And then there's a lot of kind of theory surrounding this being more coming back into things in the future when we've got technology so advanced that people can upload their brains and their memories to machines. You know, are we going to have like billionaires who can afford to do this still be sticking around in some form?
Like Futurama, where Nixon's head is still present.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Is Elon Musk still going to be trying to get to the outer reaches of the solar system in 200 years' time?
But then will that count as if their brain is still alive, albeit in a different body, would that count as them being dead? How are we defining death?
I guess it's. That's a good question. Yeah.
You've opened a philosophical can of worms here, Alex.
You really have.
Yeah. It's been a mental week for me. I've just been sat indoors contemplating this. But that's my word of the week.
Did they invent it?
I like it.
Purely for North Korea? Is that like one of those words that they invented because a thing exists? Or is it one of those words where, you know, 500 years, or like Samuel Johnson doing his dictionary in the late 18th century is like, I'm going to make a word for every type of possible government in existence. Necrocracy.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Interesting, Have there been any previously?
Sure. Well, the one that springs to mind for me is ancient Egypt, but I don't know if that
was gods, weren't they?
If that's the same, because they could, but then they transcended to be gods, didn't they? So I don't know if that actually counts. But I think North Korea is kind of unique. So yeah, maybe it was made for North Korea.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to think that therefore Christian countries, if they believe that, you know, Jesus is the as the Messiah who ultimately rules, and he was a man.
That's different, isn't it?
Are you then being ruled by the dead?
Is there? I don't think there is a Christian governmental system. Like, power might come from.
No, you can be
Christ. As in, like, God, like, divine right or whatever. But, like, they're not literally making the rules. Like, you're making the rules every day.
Here you go. I found an interesting article from Smithsonian. Apparently, the Inca Empire might qualify a bit partially as a necrocracy because the mummies of deceased kings were often present at formal occasions and decision-making and were thought to guide the living.
Oh, so, wow. That's incredible.
So they were at the at the decision table. Yeah. Imagine doing that in like a Western country like the US or something today. They dig up Lincoln put him in the Situation Room.
I mean, it's tempting to make a cheap joke and say that they'd still get better results than the current sitting president, but, you know.
You've made it.
You've done it. You've said it was tempting. You just gave into temptation.
Whoops.
It would be tempting to do this.
I've just done it.
That's interesting. That is.
That's super interesting.
I'm not sure that belongs
too
on this
interesting.
Podcast.
Get out.
Get out.
I'm very sorry. I handed my resignation. Straight away.
Well, this week I learned about something which I just thought was incredible, and it involves a picture which I'm sending you both now, and I'll throw it up on screen for our YouTube viewers.
I mean, this could go horribly wrong. You're sending us a picture
indeed.
Live.
For all of our listeners, can you describe and can you guess what you're looking at, guys?
Is it a Swiss Army knife?
I see. Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Yeah.
It looks. It's like some carving knives. It looks like, but with some weird utensils on them. was thinking maybe it was a Swiss Army knife or something, but apparently not.
It's not a Swiss Army knife. Yeah.
Is it some weird surgical utensil for?
You're getting closer. It is used for surgery. So
it looks like some kind of bayonet.
Oh, not far off.
I mean, it looks. It looks like I was a bit into whittling for a while, and it looks like a whittling knife. But I'm guessing that's not what it is, because that sounds not very interesting. No. So
these four drawings, and you're right, it looks like a knife, like a little pen knife, or almost like a very sharp kitchen knife with some kind of circular clasp with teeth at the opposite end to the blade, if that makes sense. And these are four different designs, one of which looks a bit more like tweezers, for a surgical castration knife.
Why have you done this to us?
What the hell, Robin?
Where do you even find this?
Where did I find this?
This is a family
You can
podcast.
Find this in the National Archives. So I stumbled across this week. It was a patent. This was a patent design put forward in 1846 by Alfred Earnshaw.
Oh, so it wasn't made.
I don't know. It might have been. He patented these designs, but the relief you'll be pleased to hear that Alfred Earnshaw, who designed these knives, was a sheep shearer. So this castration knife is actually for sheep. It's not for humans. Exactly. I looked it up, and according to the Animal Welfare Approved Standards, surgical castration is the last resort. Because, unsurprisingly, even for sheep, it is the most painful and least humane of all castration methods.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is there? There's medical castration or chemical, isn't it?
Yes, there's chemical, or there's what they call emasculator castration, which is where you basically tie a really, really tight. It's a device, like a technical device, but like it basically cuts off the blood supply to the testicles and then makes them die. Yeah,
and that's better than this.
Yeah, it's less painful, apparently.
That's option number two. You can choose that if you want.
But also, according to the animal welfare standards, you have to do this to a lamb within the first 7 days of its life. After that point,
I was
going to
say.
Well, you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. And the reason for that is I've seen country farms and sheep's bollocks are massive. There's no way they're fitting in that clamp.
Exactly. They're massive. I think it's also just more and more painful as they get older. But yeah, that's what I learned.
Why have it as one device? Because you might need both at the same time, right? Like you might need the knife as well as the clamp. Mm. What's the benefit of having it as just one tool? So like you don't have to remember.
Yeah,
two.
I guess maybe that's it. Yeah,
two tools.
I mean, yeah.
I guess it's the same. Yeah, similar to be like, oh, I need to use a saw at the same time as a scissors. Why does this penknife have both?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm
wondering if maybe you were supposed to use the scalpel end to slit open the ball sack and then use the clamp around the test.
If you don't know how it works, Robin,
the testicle
guess.
Itself, like, out, you know, like that, maybe that's like you use one end and then you turn it around and use the other. Maybe that's what that's for.
Well, it folds. The thing is that serrated bit on the right. Sorry, not serrated. The bit on the right suggests that it folds up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the cutting could be in the fold. It could be like a. Back over.
That's true. This is true.
Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Anyway, that's thoroughly disgusting.
Yeah, well, that's why I learned this week. I thought that would put a spring in your step. Yeah.
How did you learn that this week? What were you Googling?
I wasn't Googling. I was reading a fantastic book about inventions that didn't change the world.
Oh, that actually sounds really interesting.
It does sound really interesting, doesn't it? And this one caught my eye. It caught other things as well. It kind of.
Hopefully not your balls.
Not my balls. Yes, using a book to castrate yourself is a method that is not recommended by the animal welfare standards. But what do you guys at home think? if you were able to understand our description of the device, or if you saw the picture whilst watching this on YouTube, did you guess correctly what it was? And if you didn't, can you think of a better way to castrate sheep? please let us know in the comments below. And I'm going to use that as a segue into our next segment, which is your comments of the week.
Well, I don't know about this comment section, but I am so excited for next week's comment section.
Oh, goodness,
next week's comments are going to be amazing.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, I've got a review this week.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I've got a lovely review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from Patrick V27. Ooh, so the title of the review is Dick Turpin in this review?
Oh wow, very good.
It's on it's brand, on. I think. And I can't believe
that's becoming a thing.
It is, but it has, unfortunately, it is for you, thing, Alex. So Patrick kindly says, I've been listening to this podcast for quite some time, even back to when it was from the channel that shall not be named. I was a big fan of the stories from the bunker. When it changed, I was a bit skeptical, but continued to listen, and I'm glad I did. Oh. It has made my otherwise mundane car rides just interesting. Again, on brand. Nice. The chemistry between the hosts is great. Maybe a review after this episode. And adds to the podcast. I enjoy the banter between them. I learned some quite interesting facts. It's also engaging for when they do the quizzes at the end. You'll find yourself keeping count as to what you've gotten right. You may also find yourself yelling answers at your phone when whoever is taking the quiz doesn't know it, which is quite often. Yep. I've added that in, by the way, which is true. You can tell they truly enjoy what they do. It's the only podcast I listen to, and it would be great, and it would be a great collection to yours as well. As long as they keep making them, I will continue listening.
Wow.
That's so nice.
That's incredible.
It's inaccurate. Yeah. I hate you both. I don't know why I still do this. But,
yes, I'm glad we managed to successfully present this facade that we all like each other. You know,
yes.
This exactly. Doing it via webcam isn't because of the pandemic. It's because we would kill each other if we were in the same room as each other. That's the only reason.
And also what the guys at home don't know is that whenever we do the podcast, we turn off the cameras to each other's faces so we can't see each other because we just detest looking at each other's faces.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
That is definitely related to that, and not because we don't know how to record whilst simultaneously on Discord. Yeah, definitely. Oh, we'll figure it out at some point.
That was a wonderful review. Thank you. Who is that from again?
Patrick V27. I assume his name's Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. That was wonderful. Yeah, that's so lovely. And if you did want to leave a review... And I think it really does help us on whatever platform you're listening to us, or if you're on YouTube, smash that like button. That's what YouTubers say, right?
Yeah,
that's
smash the same, that like button.
I mean, we're getting into saying this unironically now, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, the comment from this week that caught my eye was on a short video we did the mysterious death of Hitler's niece. Which went up on YouTube, and it's an interesting story. Well, I think that's why I made the video about it. And on that video, we got some really great comments. But first name, last name, commented, perhaps she, Hitler's niece, was killed by a time traveler, which I confess was not a possibility that I considered.
Why the niece? Unless they know something that we don't, and maybe she was like even
maybe
worse
she was
than
worse than
Hitler.
Yeah, timeline. Like maybe the whole scenario of going back in time and killing baby Hitler has been done, but it was Hitler's niece instead,
and it made the world fine.
Yep,
it made that whole section of history so much better.
Or maybe like she, the time travelers in the future lived out that scenario of, you know, if you go back and kill Hitler, someone worse will take their place.
Oh.
Except she did something really bad, so they went back and killed her, and then Hitler took her place. And wow, that was so much worse than the stuff that she did.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Yeah. There we go.
Ugh.
Maybe. And then they were like, well, shall we go back and kill Hitler as well? And they were like, no, just leave it now. Just drop it.
Just drop it. We don't know what will happen.
We've
next
done
time.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's an interesting theory. And that was a fantastic video, Robin. That was really good.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that one. So if you haven't seen that, go and watch it.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Well, I've got a comment on our most recent podcast from Jed Ryan, and it relates to me. And it was a very, very flattering, actually. He said, Alex, have you discovered time travel? Looking at the old videos, you seem to be getting younger. Git.
Get.
My secret is shaving my beard off, I think.
It works.
I think that's it. Every so often. I've gone into a bad habit of just like, or a lazy habit where I shave it off once. I'm like shearing a sheep, you know, I just shave it off once every couple of weeks.
That's fair enough. I think that's fair enough, especially, you know, you're at home a lot, aren't you? You're not traveling out to go to an office or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's impressive, though. I mean, I agree, Alex, you're very youthful. But I think most of us have grown more haggard as this pandemic lockdown and situation has continued.
Big time.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought that was a very nice comment. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you're a fan of Alex's youthful, lovely face, you can get more of it by following and joining our Patreon. For just $1 a month, you get access to a little more interesting, a mini podcast that we make every single week. And this week's was about Coca-Cola. And I was going to say whether or not they suppressed research into their sugary drinks being bad for obesity, but there is no whether or not about it. So that was a fun discussion.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, so, yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. Sinister.
Scary. But with all that said, let's move on to our main topic of this week, which is good old Loch Ness Monster.
Nessie. Oh, I love this one. A bit of Nessie.
Tempting to do this whole thing in a bad Scottish accent, but let's not. Let's avoid that. But you two feel free. I'm not going to do it.
You're the one that just did it, Robin.
Quiet, Alex. Quiet. So before Alex and Martin kind of discuss what they've been looking into about Loch Ness Monster, I thought I would just introduce the concept to those who are unfamiliar, or those who just might need a refresher like I did. So Loch Ness, if you didn't know, is a freshwater lake in the Highlands of Scotland. It's 37 kilometres or 23 miles long, and it's 240 metres or 788 feet deep, which is basically the equivalent of two American football fields. If you stood them on end, that's how deep Loch Ness is. And it's part of the Great Glen, Glenmore, which divides the Highlands. Loch Ness is notably deep near the shores, actually. It's quite unusual in how deep it gets, how quickly close to the shore, which may be a big factor in perpetuating stories about the Loch Ness Monster. For instance, the earliest known story of a beast living in Loch Ness concerns the Irish Christian saint Columba, who was travelling through what is now Scotland on a mission to convert the Picts. And in the story, Columba saves the locals by using the power of God to drive away the monster. Since then, and that was in the 6th century, there aren't really any recorded sightings or stories of Nessie, or up until the late 19th century, when there were a couple of sightings, or one sighting every few years, until 1934, when possibly the most famous sighting of Nessie took place, and this was a black and white photograph known as the surgeon's photograph after the gynecologist who supposedly took it. This photo famously shows the plesiosaur-like neck and head of Nessie poking above the water's surface. And as you know, this more or less defined the popular image of Nessie, but sadly it was proven to be a hoax in 1994. The Nessie that we see in the photo was actually created out of a toy submarine and wood putty by a filmmaker as an act of revenge on the Daily Mail, of all people, for ridiculing him for previously believing an earlier Nessie hoax, which I think is quite witty, really. Like, somebody exposes you for and ridicules you for believing a hoax, you make a hoax that the newspapers believe.
It's an absolutely legendary image, though.
It really is.
That one is. Yeah. It's you think of kind of mysteries and conspiracy theories and that.
Mm.
I think everyone knows the image that you're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like whenever I think of Nessie, that's like pretty much the first thing that pops into my head, that photo.
It's true for a lot of the cryptids that have been photographed. Mm. There are certain ones that stand out, aren't there?
Yeah.
You think of, say, Bigfoot, there's probably that footage, one that we're thinking of right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a good point, because it was pretty much this photograph that led to a huge wave of Nessie sightings pretty much continuously throughout the second half of the 20th century, and a whole industry of tourism and Nessie hunting at Loch Ness that's endured and still continues to this day. And I think the Loch Ness Monster is worth about £41 million to the Scottish economy, the last estimate.
Wow.
So the nature of Nessie and what type of creature it might be and the very existence of Nessie are both big questions that many historians and scientists still debate and try to establish. But what I find interesting is that sightings continue even during the pandemic lockdown. And I wondered, actually, when we said we'd talk about Loch Ness, if you guys think, and if you have any evidence to back up, the reduced presence of tourists at Loch Ness might actually present an opportunity for Nessie to get a bit careless, you know, and get spotted. And I think Martin, You've got details of a recent sighting?
Yeah, a couple of sightings actually, from the last couple of months. That kind of don't necessarily prove what you're saying to be true, but it's interesting that there has been a kind of a bit of a wave in sightings. It might be that people are maybe visiting the lock because it's supposedly a place that you can go despite the restrictions in lockdown, right? You can head out for a country walk as your exercise. Why not visit Loch Ness?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's been a couple. And the first one dates back to the end of June. And a photographer from Southampton took a rather interesting picture of supposedly the Loch Ness monster, a guy called Steve Challice. And he supposedly took this before lockdown, actually. It was in September, but it came to the press in the last couple of months. So he said that he started taking a few photos, and then this giant fish came to the surface of the water. I'm going to put the image on screen now, just so everyone can see what it is, because I think that probably makes sense. And he thought it was he's a skeptic, so he thought it was a giant catfish, and thought it was roughly 8 feet long, which is a pretty big catfish. That'd be like a mammoth catfish. But of course, the sightings of the Loch Ness Monster are a fair bit bigger than 8 foot. So Mr. Challice, this is what he said. He said, it only appeared in one of the shots that I took, and I thought it was a bit of a fluke. I watched for a while, as you can see from the last picture, but didn't see it again. So he doesn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster. But thinks there's a logical explanation, so thinks that it's probably a catfish. Now, it's turned out since taking this picture that, in fact, this picture was not taken at the Loch Ness in September. The reason being that catfish have apparently, I didn't know this, but have very, very intricate and unique markings, a bit like human fingerprints. So you can tell if you look at a catfish, which catfish it is, if you have kind of a reference point or another reference image to go by.
Okay.
And they found out a little while later that this particular image that's been circulating for a while isn't the Loch Ness Monster, but is actually a catfish from Italy, which is disappointing for us Nessie enthusiasts, right? We want to at least not know whether it's the Loch Ness Monster or not, but this one's being kind of shown to have been a catfish that was...
Are you saying that we've been catfished, Marta?
We have been catfished, literally.
Is that where it comes from? Mistaking Nessie for a catfish? Is that where the actual catfishing term comes from?
No, probably the phrase not. Dates I'm back to that documentary, wasn't there? Catfish. Which I think...
Yeah, the catfish documentary.
I don't know why it's called
catfish.
What's
the actual... Where does the term come from?
Anyway, so there's this huge fish that was caught in Italy. It turns out that this was it. So this one was not Nessie. But more recently, there was another sighting, just last week, I believe, or at the end of July, so a little bit over a week ago.
Right.
From a fireman called Ross McCauley, who's lived all of his life around Loch Ness, around the area. But he's not a believer in the animal,
right.
in it actually existing.
Okay.
So, which is quite an interesting starting point for someone who took this picture. So he took this picture from quite a distance. You know, you can see supposedly Nessie as a small little creature in the water. So there's not a whole load of detail in terms of the picture itself, as he is far away.
Yeah.
But he was just walking. He was driving around, and he looked down at the water from up high, and saw about 200 feet below the road that he was driving on. There are a couple of kayakers, and next to them, about 100 yards away from them, there was something just below the surface gliding along. So he took this picture and has since become convinced that this is the Loch Ness Monster, because it has the telltale signs, the arched neck like the plesiosaur, and a lot of these what seem like the telltale signs, the what they called flippers on the side. So he said he'd never seen anything like this, and that it wasn't a fish. And asked whether he believed in Nessie before, he said, "Hell no."
Huh.
But
now he does.
But
wow.
But now he's at the very least he's baffled as to what it was. And Loch Ness Monster enthusiasts have said, "Yep, this is quite probably the Loch Ness Monster."
Well, that's interesting.
So you know, the mystery endures. But as you say, Robin, I think this brings us on nicely to the fact that the industry is worth a lot of money, right? It wouldn't at all surprise me if the local authorities and those working in the area and for the tourism board are keen to have people like Ross take these pictures once in a while to heighten enthusiasm and pique people's interest in the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, imagine if the Scottish government could trademark and copyright the name and the image of the Loch Ness Monster. Because like the amount of times it crops up in books and comic books and cartoons and movies, they could make an absolute killing on that, couldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That's very true. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I'm one of those mentioned tourists who went to Loch Ness in the hopes of seeing the Loch Ness Monster. I went at the start of the year before all this kind of lockdown.
You did, yeah.
COVID stuff happened. And that kind of relates to the sighting that I wanted to mention, it happened a few years ago in 2012, but it was taken by the guy who runs the it gives tours of the lock and stuff on his boat.
Cool.
And his name's Marcus, Marcus Atkinson.
Yeah.
And I actually spoke to him, and he seemed like a really nice, down-to-earth person. He seemed like skeptical. He's seen all the pictures and he's spoken to everyone who comes up and visits and claims to have seen Nessie and,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
And he has this kind of underwater sonar on his boat and it gives a live reading. So when we were there, we could see like the live reading going underneath the boat in Loch Ness. So it's constantly scanning objects underwater. And for the most part, you can see the bottom of Loch Ness, and there are a few fish and stuff that it picks up. But then his main encounter with something that he couldn't explain, and this picture, it was just a picture of his sonar screen, won the best image of Nessie in 2012, I think.
Is that a tight competition? Is that a massive event?
It's a competition that's run by William Hill every year, I think.
Oh, right.
No way.
I think they reward whoever takes the best picture of Nessie.
Like the betting shop. But William Hill, the betting shop. Yeah. Oh,
right. What an odd partnership.
Weird partnership. Run by bookmakers William Hill.
This isn't sponsored by William.
No, Martin. It's sponsored by Panera Bread.
Farting in your mouth since 2020.
Oh.
But he said he was out on a doing a tour in near a fort. Hang on,
what, Urquhart Castle?
Urquhart Bay. He was near, and he was just moving the boat out a little bit, and he saw on the sonar a moving object that followed the boat for more than 2 minutes. And it was like created this consistent mark on the sonar, and that basically there was nothing in the water that should be that big. It was huge, and it was moving like following the boat for several minutes.
Ooh.
And he said that he's never seen anything like this in the whole 21 years of doing this job.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it was weird, like speaking to him when I went there, because he seems so down to earth and so normal, like pretty skeptical, and this one picture that he took just completely perplexed him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you know how long he had been hunting for the Loch Ness Monster before he came across this sonar? Because if he was a skeptic, he probably wouldn't have been there hunting for the Loch Ness Monster in the first place, right?
Well, I think that's the thing. He just does this as he gives tours of Loch Ness because it's a tourist attraction and it's a job. And I think he's more into the boating than the Loch Ness Monster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't. I don't think he was. I don't think he was a huge believer or anything. I think he was. He just likes giving tours of the lock.
Yeah.
See that in conjunction with Martin's story. Was it Ross Macaulay? You got these people who don't really believe, but coming across evidence that either in the case in Alex's case, like confounds them, or in Martin's case, convinces them that there's something out there in the lock. That's really interesting.
And the thing is, you can never disprove. Well, you can, but it's very difficult to disprove something that it's not true, right? It's very difficult to disprove that the Loch Ness Monster isn't true, because unless there's evidence, then it's almost impossible to find evidence that something doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, the closest they've come probably in that sense was that, was it last year, 2019, they did a DNA survey. Remember, like they scooped up huge amounts of water from Loch Ness at different depths, I think, and then did a DNA analysis of what was in there to analyze what life forms existed in Loch Ness, because they'd shed their skin and things, and they didn't find any trace of anything unusual. A lot of eel DNA, I think, like unusually high, I think, was it. And so there was this suggestion that maybe there's some big eels that live in Loch Ness, and they might be mistaken for the Loch Ness Monster. But I mean, that's the closest I can think of that they've come to disproving Nessie's existence. But even then, it's kind of...
Yes.
Yeah. There must be some flawed methodology in just scooping up samples of water and analyzing for DNA, because what if it's something prehistoric, like a plesiosaur? How do you analyze the DNA of that? You know?
That's very true.
Yeah. I guess it'd be unidentified.
There's definitely other evidence for why it couldn't be a plesiosaur. I think, haven't they done tests on the actual temperature of the water is not sustainable for a plesiosaur. But also, if there was enough plesiosaurs living there, that would be, you know, self-sustaining colony of plesiosaurs.
Yeah.
And because obviously they don't live forever.
It's evolution, though, right? It's evolution. Over the years, the plesiosaurs adapted to be able to live in these waters. So it's not your traditional plesiosaur. It's a new, modified, updated 21st century plesiosaur.
But I think their main argument was that they would have to be like super stealthy or something, because they should have come across them.
But haven't we? Yeah. Haven't we just discussed this? They have come across it. We just don't know what we're looking at when we see it.
Mind blown.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of circle. You come full circle, don't you? And that's, you can never disprove it. But this one really excited me because, I don't know, when we look at these kind of cases, I always am most compelled, not necessarily by what you see, because images can be faked and they can be manipulated. Like that image that you showed, Martin, is actually one of the better looking Nessie sightings I've seen. That first case, but then it's like, oh, it wasn't taken at Loch Ness.
It's definitely fake.
So the first what gets me is when you've got an expert in the field, like this person knows the lock, he's been giving tours of it for 20 years, he doesn't necessarily believe there's anything in there, but this, he saw something on his sonar screen that you can't really fake. It's like a picture he's taken of the sonar screen. And it just shows that there was something massive that passed under his boat for about 5 minutes. And above the bottom of the water, below the boat, about 75 feet down. And it was massive and followed the boat for 5 minutes. So
it's got to be something, hasn't it?
What's that all about? I can't explain that.
It's something. It's something. And I would love... Yeah. I mean, could he be exaggerating on this because he is a tour guide in the area? Of course he could. But I don't care. Like, the fact is, this exists and it's fantastic and it's great. I'm not saying the Loch Ness Monster exists. I'm saying that the legend of the Loch Ness Monster exists. And the fact that it helps Scottish tourism in this otherwise fairly remote area, it's just great. I love that. As long as the locals are happy with people coming and visiting and aren't going to screaming Alex out of the area for protruding on their lovely, beautiful lake. It's just fantastic.
I'd love to go back. It's amazing.
It would be so cool to do some kind of underwater survey. Because I know they've been done before, like the sonar thing, but like the feather you cited, but also there've been actual scientific sonar surveys of the lock. But I'd love to do something there. Yeah, maybe it's something for the future. It was funny, Martin, in response to what you just said, mm-hmm. I think there have been complaints recently from people living who live near Loch Ness about during lockdown the over 200 Loch Ness monster hunters have, well, they've trespassed on private property at a castle to try to get a view of the loch. And I think there is a website with like a live cam stream of the lake, but it's,
yeah,
if I remember,
yeah,
it's,
I think there is,
but it's from the ground, so it's looking at the surface of the water to see if Nessie turns up, which is a noble effort, and I understand cost problems with trying to do underwater camera monitoring, but like what I'd love to do is have underwater cameras permanently at different areas at the bottom of the lake, halfway up, and at the top of the lake, just under the water surface, and just have them permanently live streaming so we can monitor to see if Nessie swims by. I probably wouldn't work because the water's really murky, but you know,
that's the thing. I mean, how could you plug them in though? How could you keep the power running to those?
You'd have to, it'd be such an engineering project, wouldn't it?
It would be a little bit, yeah.
That's one of our patron goals, right? A massive.
If we reach 2 million,
we'll catch the Loch Ness monster.
2 million a month, yeah. We'll do Loch Ness, yeah.
Just to put some cameras on Loch Ness.
I'm sure the locals will be happy with that. Bloody English.
Sassnacks, yeah. Well, what do you, at home, listening to us or watching us on YouTube, what do you think? Please tell us in the comments below or send us a tweet at JInterestingYT, or individually, I'm at AllTimeRobin.
I'm at MartInteresting.
And I'm at JustAlexing.
Please let us know what you think. Do you think Nessie is real? Do you think the stories we told you today are more compelling proof for Nessie's existence, or are you skeptical and just think there's never proof good enough to prove Nessie's existence? Please let us know.
There's never proof. What if we find it?
What if we find it? If we found it, like took a picture of Alex riding it, you know, with a cowboy
with a name tag.
Yeah.
I am Nessie.
Oh dear. Putting that aside for a moment, shall we move on to a quiz?
Yeah.
Welcome to the quiz, and today's contestants are Martin and Alex. Martin, the reigning champion, has everything to live for. Alex has only one thing to prove, that Martin is not the best. So, today's quiz, as always, will consist of 10 questions, with an 11th bonus question to break any ties, or just for fun, because we like to do it anyway. But first, gentlemen, before we begin, play me your buzzers. Alex.
Well, I'd like to. I've got a different buzzer today, and I've been. This is from a Mitchell & Webb sketch that I've been thinking about a lot recently, and I feel like our quiz is slowly turning into this, basically.
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors. This is the quiz broadcast coming to you every Friday, the same day as your food parcel.
It's good. It's good.
It's stay indoors. Yeah.
It's coming true.
Yeah, it's actually true. Literally true. Yeah. Martin,
welcome to the quiz broadcast.
Martin, what's your buzzer?
Well, I've taken over the mantle because someone had to.
Oh.
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Oh, my God.
Is in these woods. Show yourself.
Show yourself.
I actually haven't heard it in a few weeks, and
did you miss it?
It's worse than I remember.
Oh no, it's great. Somehow. I feel like it's been too long. Too long. Thank you, Martin. I really appreciate you bringing that in. That's what counts.
It was in that time. It was kind of mellowing on me, and I was kind of getting I don't mind it. But actually, listening to it back, I actually do. I hate.
Does it fill you with rage?
Just pure anger.
Makes me want to win.
Well, that's good. Okay. That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Fingers on buzzers, because question number one is about to wing its way towards you.
Okay.
Question. Okay. Question number one. To whom is commonly attributed the phrase, "Let them eat cake"?
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Ooh, I heard some audience laughter first, so I'm guessing that's Alex with the quiz show sketch.
Is
it is Alex, yeah.
Is it Marie Antoinette?
It is Marie Antoinette. I'm guessing you had that too, Martin.
Yeah.
Just slightly slower off the buzzer.
Yeah.
That's always a problem with Alex. So, well done. Marie Antoinette, did she say let them eat cake? Who knows? Although the actual
probably not.
French quotation is let them eat brioche, which obviously isn't quite the same as cake. Just fancy.
Doesn't roll off the tongue as much, does it?
No.
Awesome. It's a close relative, but yeah, it's not the same.
Okay, 1-0 to Alex going into question two. Question two, fairly easy. True or false? Nemesis was the Greek god of revenge.
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors.
I think that was Alex again.
I don't know this. I'm just going to say false.
Okay, I'll give Martin the guess.
Oh, that's me. That's because... Oh, I'm wrong then, aren't I?
I was also thinking false, if I'm being honest.
Are you being honest?
I'm being honest. False.
Okay, well, the correct answer is true.
There we go.
Nemesis is the Greek god of revenge. Apparently the name Nemesis means in Greek to give what is due. Specifically in the Greek mythology, she was the person who punished arrogance before the gods.
Yeah, so I mean, it did sound right, but I thought because it was so obvious, like, would be false. That was my thinking.
Tricksy question. But still 1-0 going into question three. Which country's political leader is called the Taoiseach?
The Taoiseach.
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 Taoiseach. Which country's political leader is called the Taoiseach? I apologize to anyone who knows how to pronounce this correctly if I've got it wrong.
Is it like a political leader today? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Modern, as in, it's the country. Title. Taoiseach is the title. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
The Taoiseach. Where would it be?
Taoiseach. Country's political leader. The Taoiseach.
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Yes, Martin.
I was thinking of someone like Nepal.
It's not Nepal.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, the Taoiseach. Huh. Okay. Don't even know where to hazard a guess. The Taoiseach.
Hello, good evening, and remain. Yes, Alex.
So, Vietnam?
It is not Vietnam.
How's it spelled?
Yeah.
Taoiseach.
Say that one more time.
Taoiseach.
That doesn't help at all.
They are the United Kingdom's closest neighbor.
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
I think Alex's voice came through first, so it's Martin.
What? Oh, right, I see. I was confused for a second.
Though. Oh, yeah.
Your voice. Oh, what? No.
Sorry.
Ireland.
Damn it.
It is the Republic of Ireland. Yes, well done.
I want some...
Taoiseach, really?
Yeah, Taoiseach. That's their.
Didn't know that.
Prime Minister, I think, is what it means essentially.
I didn't know that. Is it? Well, it's just the Irish word for it, I take it.
Yeah, I think they do have a president as well.
Oh, is it president? I'm thinking of not prime minister.
Yeah.
You prefer to be the president than the Taoiseach, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Taoiseach sounds cool, actually.
It's a cool thing, yeah.
No one knows what it means, but it's cool.
Question number four, one all. Cesar Romero, Mark Hamill, Jack Nicholson, Jared Leto, Joaquin Phoenix, Heath Ledger.
Hello, good evening.
Have all played which comic book character? Alex?
The Joker.
The Joker. Well done. Yeah. 2-1.
Very good. Very good.
Going into number five. Closest wins. So both got equal chances at this, to be honest. Worldwide, how many cultivated beehives are there?
Oh my god.
What?
Yeah.
So random.
I know.
So that's the number of
beehives that beekeepers have. So I think it's fairly impossible to estimate accurately the number of wild beehives, but yeah.
Yes.
How many cultivated beehives are
worldwide?
There?
Worldwide. It's not the amount of bees.
Not number of bees. Anything. This is how this question came about. I was like, "Ooh, how many bees are there in the world?" And I was like, "That's impossible." So let's just go for beehives.
Yes.
Hmm.
Man, this could vastly different. I mean,
I don't know. Cultivated beehives.
Um,
We're both doing the thing.
You're both waiting for the other guy.
I'll have a guess.
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors. Yep.
Shot in the dark. A million.
Okay. Martin?
A million.
What's your guess?
A million? Is that a lot?
I don't know if that's a lot or too few.
I was thinking maybe a little bit more. Not massively more, but a little bit more. Just because if you're a beekeeper, you have more than one hive, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have lots of beehives. Yeah. Maybe.
That's true. But who has beehives, really?
Maybe
beekeepers, Alex, maybe, obviously.
Actually, that's a lot, though. How many beekeepers are in the UK? Like, not that many.
But also, aren't bees dying out?
Bees are dying. I was thinking more, so I'm going to go more. Let's go for, I don't know, 2 million.
I mean, you really stretched it there, Martin, but you are closest. So there are actually nearly 250,000 cultivated beehives in the UK alone.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. And worldwide, there's as many as 100 million.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy shit. How incredible is that? Wow. But, I mean, there's all that honey, right? All that honey in the supermarket. It's got to come from somewhere. So
yeah, I was thinking it's going to be one of those like amazing facts, though, where it was like there was only actually going to be 10,000, you know,
yeah.
And they provided the world
just 10,000 beehives with 100,000 really tired bees.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exhausted, just like, I can't do this anymore. I've been for years, I'm dripping with honey, and it's stolen from me at every opportunity. Man. Okay, 100 million
beehives.
So that means,
which
how
means
many bees are there in a hive?
There must be like trillions of bees, right?
Yeah.
Billions at least, based on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's 2-2 going into question 6. Is that right? No, 3.
I think that sounds right. I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, 2-2 going into question 6, yeah.
Okay.
The High Roller in Las Vegas is the world's tallest what?
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Ah, oh, man, I want to say Alex, but no, Martin.
I didn't buzz.
Is it a slide?
Oh, it's not a slide, but you kind of have the right lines.
Sorry, that's a clue.
Okay, High Roller. It's not a slide. And it's the world's largest something.
World's tallest, yeah.
World's tallest, and it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
High Roller. I'm struggling.
You don't have to have a clue. I guess Martin could just go straight ahead if you like.
Wait, no, that's that loud.
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors. Yep.
There we go. I buzzed in now. That's bought me like 10 seconds. Oh, I know it's not true, but roller coaster.
No, sadly. The name is not that witty, but it is witty because this thing would roll if you pushed it.
It would roll if you pushed it.
I vote for another clue.
Could you physically push it?
I mean, you could, but you wouldn't have an effect on it. It's the world's tallest of its kind. It's a pretty hefty thing.
I vote for another clue.
I guess so.
It's. You can get on it. You can have a ride.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Hello, is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Ooh.
If anyone.
Alex?
As in me?
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to guess the world's tallest, you know, those fairground rides that spin and go upside down. Is that as specific as I can be? You know, the ones where you sit
upside down, right?
And it rotates, you know, like the fairground ones where it's like a big thing that goes in a 360 motion.
No,
a fairground.
I'm going to say,
like?
No, Martin. What was your guess?
I was going to go Ferris wheel.
You are correct. It is the world's tallest Ferris wheel.
Oh yeah, that makes much more sense. Yeah,
yeah. My clues. I was like, I can't give many clues without just giving it away. But yeah, well done. So. Ooh. 3-2, I think, to Martin, going into question 7.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
damn it.
Okay, history hats on. Question 7. How many American colonies declared independence in 1776?
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors.
Yes, Alex.
13?
Yes.
It's actually...
Yeah, it is.
Yes!
Actually 13. What are we gonna...
I had a feeling... For some reason, 13 called out to me, but I don't know. It was a bit of a shot in the dark.
Lucky for some, that's I guess, good. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have gone for 12. I was thinking 12. Close. So not too far off, yeah. But wrong. Very wrong. Well, Alex, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank Spot you. On. Yeah,
can, now now I'll name them.
Okay, question number 8. I think it's 3-all.
Close one, this one.
Well, yeah, it's going to be really tight. Where would you find Holyrood Palace?
Hello, good evening.
Oh, that was Alex.
Did anyone die here?
You'd find that in Edinburgh.
You would Robin. Indeed. Yes, it is. Well done. 4-3 to Alex going into question 9. Fingers on buzzers. What does the abbreviation AFK mean?
And remain indoors.
Alex.
This is the...
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah.
Away from keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
5-3, I think.
Damn.
The turntables.
Yes, the foot's on the other boot now. Question number 10, then, just to see if Martin can scrape it back. Which legendary actor and filmmaker was also a member of the Society of American Magicians and the International Brotherhood of Magicians?
I mean...
If anyone good evening, is in these words...
That was... I heard Show Alex... Yourself. Looking for Dick Turpin. So, Martin?
Alfred Hitchcock.
No, he was not really an actor.
Actor, did you say?
Yeah, actor and filmmaker.
I was going to guess Alfred Hitchcock as well.
Oh, really? I mean, yeah, he was really the master of visual sleight of hand, I guess. Yeah. So
actor and director, did you say?
Actor and filmmaker, yeah. He was a director, yeah. He made...
Okay, actor and filmmaker. Okay.
What else was he part of? I don't want to say a silly answer now.
He was a member of the...
Is he still alive?
He's not still alive, no.
Okay.
He's a legend.
Getting random
clues. He's a dead legend, not a living legend. And he was a member of the Society of American Magicians and the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
I don't know.
So he's most likely...
Okay, I'll give you a clue. Yeah. He often accompanies us on these quizzes.
Hello, good evening, and remain indoors.
Oh, that was Alex.
Is it our good old friend Orson Welles?
It is Orson
Welles. Of course, it's Orson Welles.
It's Orson Welles.
Very good.
Wow. Nice one. 6-3. Oh, it was so tight until the end there, and then
it was.
Well, then I think that. So, what does that mean? Leaderboard is it tie between you two at the top?
I think so, isn't it? We've got two
both
each.
One, three, I think. Is it three? Or two?
I think I've only won two.
So you both won two out of three. Yeah, that makes more sense.
No, have I done three or have I done four now?
Nicely done.
Nice.
Would you like the bonus question?
Yeah.
Always.
I guess this is like a closest wins question. But as of December 2019, what is the net worth of Apple Incorporated? Did anyone die? Martin?
Oh, I think it was. I thought it was Alex first.
Yeah, that was totally.
Oh, okay, Alex, fine.
But also, I mean,
go for it.
Closest win, so I don't know.
Just
is it $1 trillion?
Okay, Martin.
$1 trillion of Apple. That's a lot, isn't it? First trillion dollar. Let's go.
It would be, I suppose, if that would be. Yeah.
I was going to say, $600 billion.
Okay. I mean, that might be its net value, its net worth today, given the pandemic. But Alex is closer. It was $1.3 trillion in December 2019.
That's mad.
I know. Absolutely crazy. The most valuable company in the world ever. And why? Why?
It's interesting, though, this Apple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I know they have a... They must do so well, but like... I don't know. It feels like they're kind of equal with like.
I just don't know.
But you think of them like, I don't know, they just sit alongside other tech companies.
Yeah, and
but actually, they are the most valuable company in the world.
Yeah, I think they're still seen, whether rightly or wrongly, as leaders in innovation. Mm. And that's what it's about. It's about that confidence that they'll be the ones who move the dial, right?
Yeah, they set the trends.
And that's why
they're
so valuable.
Yeah. And that was Steve Jobs' vision, wasn't it? To kind of set the trend, to make other people follow him, which is they've succeeded.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see how that changes. Or, well, I think there has been a bit of a shift, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. But thank you for joining me for the quiz. Well done, Alex, on your
congratulations.
Thorough victory.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank my parents. I'd like to thank my fans. And I'd like to thank Dick Turpin. He really...
Show yourself.
Show yourself.
Boudicca. Well, those of you listening at home, please let us know your scores. No cheating. But I hope you did better than these two, because even though Alex won, I mean, that's a pathetic score, really. 6. Rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Why are you ending it like this?
terrible winning score.
Just appalling winning score, really. I mean, Martin, you should have been so kind and let him win. Just too kind.
I thought I'd at least make the gap wide enough for it to seem like a credible victory.
Yeah, I mean, you had to, really. It's the only way to make it plausible.
Exactly. Got to be done for the good of the good of the show.
This is just like bullying now.
This is actually better.
Thank you for listening, and a huge thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and YouTube members for keeping this channel going by subscribing to us. And if you want to join them, then you can for as little as $1 a month by either clicking on the join button on YouTube or going to our Patreon page. And please do check out our Twitter feeds at JInterestingYT, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.